Welcome, everyone. My apologies for being a little bit late. It is March 4th, and this is the Savannah Chatham County Historic Site and Monument Commission meeting. I'm calling this meeting to order. At this time, we're going to. Did staff want to introduce meeting the members, or are we going to go do a go around? Because I was going to let them introduce themselves, but if you had something to say, Ryan.
Well, I will introduce them. Our two new members are Miss Eileen Baker and Miss Ashley Range, and they can for sure say something if they want to introduce themselves to the rest of the group.
I'll start with you, Eileen. If you want to just tell you a little bit about yourself, and we'll go around and each of us will tell about ourselves as well, so that then we can just, we all know each other that way. Welcome. Yeah, and you need to make sure you hit the right side where it'll be lit on at the base of the microphone.
The one next to the finance.
I got it. All right, now. Eileen Baker, really glad to be here. I've lived in Savannah a little over 35 years, so this is really my adopted home. I worked for the city of Savannah for 28 years and have always worked in the arts. That's all.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ashley Range. I've been in Savannah for about 5 years now. I originally worked in the I still work in the nonprofit sector, originally at Coastal Heritage Society in the museum historic preservation space. And now I'm working for Healthy Savannah and more health and wellness based kind of areas.
I am Sean Mannion. This is my second or third year on the commission. I am a de facto member because I am the Park and Tree Commission chairman. So I sit on it on this commission. And what else do I want to say? I've been in Savannah for about 15, 16 years or so.
And I'm Christopher Monroe. I'm the new chair. I'm also on the Cultural Affairs Commission and a number of other boards as well, but I won't go into all that.
Chris is a good writer too, by the way.
I'm Lisa D. Watson. I'm an artist. I have a garden design business also in town. And this is my second year. I am secretary. I take really good notes. And I think that's it.
Okay, my name's Thomas Gensheimer. I teach in the Architectural History Department at Savannah College of Art and Design. I've been on this committee for, I guess this is my ninth year, you can believe that. That makes me an old timer here, and I've been in Savannah for about 20 years now. And that might do it.
And apparently Tom is quarantined down there. Yeah. But at least we can hear you.
I'm probably the only one who's gotten the shots though of all of you right now. So yeah, I got both of them. So
I am going to ask Ryan to scroll down the agenda if you could. We do have the petitioner here, correct? So I want to do this fairly briefly, but I was also going to ask staff, you have the master plan revised in this review of commission roles and rules, but then you also have it down. Was the intent to have the discussion about that master plan after the petition?
The one under number two, review of commission roles and rules. That master plan was revised. That's the revised in 2013 version. So that's the one that you're currently utilizing. Why it was included under that section. So okay. That if you wanted to go over any of the items within the master plan guidelines, you can.
What is the item under after five?
So down there is going to be talking about our updates that we're currently going through.
I see. Okay. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for that. So I just wanted to take like a brief second to sort of re-familiarize our own selves that have already been on the board and also the new members of what this of what our role of this commission is. And I'm going to apologize because I made notes and I forgot them. So I'm going to try to wing it. But if staff has any additional any additions to this, but I know the petitioner is here and I don't want to make them wait too long on this. But staff has included the bylaws, which I would highly recommend everyone actually read. I was just reading them earlier, and I would like to have a discussion on this board about the purview of this board vis-a-vis what our jurisdiction is. It is Chatham County, but I was reading the bylaws, and there is some. Would you mind clicking on that? Could you scroll down to section 2, I believe, if I'm not mistaken? I was actually just reading this. Scroll down. A little more. No. Wait, is that it? No, keep scrolling. Okay, maybe it was that what you just pointed out. I thought there was a section 2. Maybe I'm getting that confused with.
Mr. Chairman, there is a section 2, but I think it's very brief. Because if I'm not mistaken, it would be called Article 2, because this is all under Article 3.
Maybe I'm getting it confused with the. This is where I don't like that I don't have control of this to click. Could you click back on the agenda? I apologize. Hold on. Is that HSMC state law? Is that the 1949? Yeah, that's early. There's another version. I guess it's. Well, I believe it. Okay, so it is that what you just had. It's the revised number 7. So there's a section in there. Scroll slowly. Let me just see. Oh, I think it might be in this first part. Let's see. Scroll down a little bit more. I'm sorry. There's a point to this. Keep going. Here we go. Okay. I just made it up, but it's this second paragraph. The commission will establish procedures for receiving and processing applications to place monuments, markers, and works of art on public lands within the city of Savannah and Chatham County. Okay, that's a point on public lands, and it sounds like the jurisdiction is the entire county. Now, on private lands within the National Register historic districts and locally designated historic or conservation districts within the city limits, if visible from public right of way. Now, it sounds like that to me is saying if there is public art put on private land, it only relates to the downtown area. I don't necessarily want to have that discussion now. So is that not correct then?
National Register historic districts. So it's not just the downtown area.
Okay.
And we can send you a map of the city's
okay.
The county's National Register districts so you can see what that actually entails.
Okay. And again, I didn't want to have that discussion necessarily, but I thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, I mean,
so that doesn't necessarily mean the downtown
historic district. Because you know, for example, Isle of Hope is a National Register historic district.
Gotcha.
Bethesda is a National Register historic district. Wormslow, Ossabaw Island, things like that too.
Okay.
We have about 30, if I remember correctly.
So. Okay.
And then locally designated, we have 2 districts and 4 properties in the county and 4 districts in the city locally designated.
Okay, that complicates it substantially. Okay, yes. But thank you for that clarification.
We'll send all that info to you all so you know where all the national
registers. Okay, that would help for that discussion. So again, I don't want to have that discussion now, but Sean, go ahead.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, I just don't want to forget. Included in that, Leah, could you also include any conservation districts within the city limits?
Yes, that'll be on.
Because it says as,
yep,
or.
We have that. You know what? Watch this. Where's the internet?
Thank you, Ryan.
I appreciate that clarification too.
So here are the city.
I see.
So these are the 4 City of Savannah local historic districts. Here are the four conservation districts. So Carver, Ardsley, Ardmore, and Parkside. And then Pinpoint over here is actually a Chatham local historic district.
Okay.
But then the National Register. And this is, we actually don't have a county one. So this will just be city boundaries. And it's a long story as well. We don't have a county one, but
okay.
We hope to someday.
No, this is really helpful, actually, because I had that question in my mind after I read that.
Apologies, this is a lot.
But so there are, I mean, but so are there also are neighborhoods that aren't designated that at all.
Absolutely.
Right?
So this is, okay. Like I said, just city boundaries. But and green is eligible, purple is listed National Register. So
okay.
There's your one, that's your city ones. So Bonaventure, Pine Gardens, Gordonston. When you see a county map, I mean, there's tons of stuff over here to the east.
Okay.
Tybee. There's three National Register, four now National Register historic districts on Tybee.
So it's kind of a patchwork.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Lisa.
What did you say is green?
They're eligible.
Okay.
There was sort of this was used as a preservation planning tool about 10 or so years ago to see like where we have to go next or where this might go next. And some of these ones that are purple now were originally green when this was first developed, Pine Gardens, Kensington, Fairway Oaks and Carver, those were all green at one time. So you can see how it was sort of, as things were identified, it spread out. And Ardmore right here is in the process, as is Magnolia Parks. So.
Thank you for that. That was helpful.
Yep.
And so the point of me bringing that up is basically so the way we operate currently is we review historic sites, monuments, and public art in all of Chatham County. If they are on public land, our decision is a recommendation to City Council, and City Council has the final say. If it's on private property, our decision is the final decision. That's something that wasn't explained to me when I first joined this board, and that's why I'm bringing it up, because it bears mentioning. I'm going to apologize. I'm in the middle of a move, and my brain is completely foggy, and I lost my notes. So I'm completely unprepared, and I'm setting a terrible example right now. That was one of the main things I wanted to bring up, because that was something that wasn't the other one I remember now. Email exchanges is an important thing for, I think, us all to remind ourselves of. If there are any email exchanges, they are subject to the Georgia Open Records Law. So it's the same thing as having a meeting here. So we should not be having any sort of discussion unless we have decided that, for instance, staff was going to give us some additional information via email and we can approve it or not. But any sort of discussion period really shouldn't be happening over email. And if it does, it's all subject to the Georgia Open Records Laws. What's that? Right.
Sorry, it's better just to, not. And if we've talked about it before, if you have questions, call us.
Right. And that way we're just all on the same page. And we want to make sure we're being professional over email and all that sort of thing. And there was one other one that I wanted to bring up and I can't remember. Does staff have any other sort of main?
Ryan, can you just follow up with the main points. Policy?
Yeah, so just to add to what you were talking about earlier with purview within City of Savannah or county and things like that, the mural policy that was adopted and is part of your master planning guidelines does kind of differ from what that says. It states that murals within the City of Savannah, so within the boundaries of the
okay.
City of Savannah. And then it talks about how to review those if they're on public or private, but it does say within the City of Savannah. So it's kind of excluding that portion where it's stated solely within historic districts
right.
or national landmark districts. So it kind of differs. So you do still have to review murals within the City of Savannah on public and private.
Well, the renaming is in the city too.
And the renaming, I think, is city as well.
Right. And those are we deal with that as well, like renaming of streets the naming of buildings, like the cultural Savannah Cultural Arts building that actually had to come before us, which is odd, but.
Don't forget parks.
I'm going to leave it in parks. Yeah. Thanks for that. Does anyone else, anyone on the board have any questions? Do you all have any questions? I feel like there was another point I was going to make, but I'll make it later because I don't have my notes. Do you all have any questions? Lisa?
I think I'm in a talkative mood today. I'm sorry. What I discovered about 2 months ago is that it was kind of an awakening. We're here to facilitate for the community. So if the community is opposing or really wants something, they're going to communicate to us. And it's really, we're not decision makers. We're here to just help that, help the community. If that makes sense.
You nailed it. That was the other thing I was going to mention.
Oh, good. Okay.
So yes, that, thank you, Lisa. That was the other point I was going to make. We are not here to decide whether or not we like something or not. We can't deny something just because we don't like it. We're here to arbitrate and be a forum for the public. Let me finish. Hold on 1 second. I'll get you, Sean. To be a forum for the public and also make sure that the applications are adhering to the guidelines. I mean, that's mostly what staff does, and that tells us, is it adhering to the guidelines? If it's not, they'll let us know. That was the other point, but thank you, Lisa. Sean, did you have something?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean Mannion. Just going off of the email and the public statement that I know had come up a few meetings ago, possibly even the last one, where even though we are appointed by city council, if somebody from the public reaches out to us, says, hey, I want you to really support this, whatever, so don't even bother replying to it. Like literally the extent of anything, and Leah or Ryan, please correct me if I'm wrong, the extent of really any of that type of conversation that can happen is, yes, the meeting is set for February, whatever day. And
the best the answer is here is staff's phone number. Please call them.
Yeah.
And I only say that just because I actually, yeah, want to make sure that that's clear.
No, and I appreciate you saying that because that's important as well, because we all know people in the community, and frequently there will be people who come before the board who we know. If you have a conflict of interest, you know, let us know if you really don't think you can be unbiased. But simply knowing someone doesn't mean you have a conflict of interest. I think we're going to leave that up to you being an adult and making sure we know, you know, if you have a financial stake, that's obviously a conflict of interest. Do you guys want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I mean, like family members or you're
getting money off of it somehow. Yeah. Really, and you can always, you recuse yeah. yourself and no harm, no foul.
Yeah. We do.
Okay. Can you show it? So there's a form somewhere. We're rearranging everything right now as we do these updates. So.
It's in here.
The bylaws?
No. It's a separate form.
We'll send it to you all.
Yeah.
We'll send you the recusal form.
It was included in Eileen and Ashley's new member binders, so we will send it to all of you.
And again, I would highly recommend it to everybody. Just read over those bylaws. It's only like 7 pages, but it's and the ethics. Actually, all of those attachments that staff put in there, we need to make sure we're adhering to all of those things. And there's a Roberts Rules of Order cheat sheet, which is really, really helpful, I'll say. And I'll admit, I'm still learning the process after 8 years, but I think we're getting there. Did anyone else have questions or comments on the role of the board? Tom, did you have any, were there any ideas outstanding to you for your, since your tenure has been so long?
No, actually you mentioned the thing I was going to talk about, that, you know, in addition to listening to the community, it's not about what we like, but it is that we are eyes to see that everything's following the guidelines that, you know, that are set, and the requirements that, you know, the public art and monuments meet. That's all I was going to say.
I mean, that the public comment period to me is one of the most important. I mean, the public's not always here to speak, but that's a really, to me, and a very important element of what we do here is we allow people to speak. And we're not here to rebut them. We're here to listen to them and just let them speak, whether you agree or disagree. That's their right. That's about all I had. Thank you for that, Lisa and Sean and Tom, because I think I did cover everything now. Was there anything else the staff had that comes to mind?
Well, don't think this is the extent of their orientation. We did do like an hour or so, like so similar to what we did with you, Lisa, but on Zoom.
It was fairly extensive, and that was helpful for me too to go over some of that stuff as well. If there is no objection, I would like to move the discussion of Starland Fence mural project to after the petition, because I don't want to make the petitioner wait. But if there is a reason that staff feels it needs to be talked about earlier, because that way we can kind of discuss it and have the time. So if there's no objection.
You'll just need a motion to move it and okay. To where you want to move it to.
Could I have a motion?
Become item number, sorry, Ryan.
Six, five and a half, six.
Yeah, item number six, right after the petition of Mariner Group.
So there's a motion to move item three to move into item six. Is there a second?
Yes.
So this is essentially,
move item number, whatever that is, to under the regular agenda after petition, under regular agenda.
Yes.
And I'm going to make Yins do the math.
So there's a motion to move item three to after the petition. Is there a second?
This is Lisa. I'll second that.
So there's a second. So all in favor, and we're going to go ahead. We'll go down the line. Eileen, how do you vote?
Approve.
Approve.
This is Sean. Aye.
Lisa.
This is Lisa. Aye.
This is Tom. Aye.
And the motion passes. So I'll go ahead and also mention what we've been doing since we are virtual. And I'm not always good at this myself, to state your name and then your vote. So that's another point I was going to make. I'm sorry, I'm jumping around. But as chair, I do not vote unless there's a tie. So it'll just be the vote from you all. Okay, so we will now move on to the petition of the Mariner Group for 301 Passageway Eastern Wharf. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. I will entertain a motion to approve the meeting minutes from February the 4th. Sean?
This is Sean. I make a motion to approve the minutes as submitted from the February 4th, 2021 Historic Sites and Monuments Commission meeting.
Is there a second?
This is Tom. I'll second that motion.
So we have a second. Eileen, how do you vote?
Eileen votes yay.
This is Ashley. I approve.
This is Sean. Yay.
Lisa.
Oh, this is Lisa. Aye.
This is Tom. Aye.
And the motion passes. Thank you, Ryan, for that reminder. Now we will move on to the petition of the Mariner Group for 301 Passageway Eastern Wharf mural. And staff Ryan Jarles will do the presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. This applicant is requesting approval for a large mural to be painted onto new construction. It's a new construction parking garage you are probably all familiar with over in the Eastern Wharf at 301 Passageway. The mural will be executed in a tone-on-tone manner, and I'll show you that in a little bit. So it'll be including a base coat of masonry primer painted onto the entire facade of the parking deck to match the residential facade that'll be to the north portion. So this is the residential facade towards the north. And then this is the parking garage that is referenced. So the mural will be painted a slightly darker gray than what you're seeing here. And I'll show you that again in just a moment. The mural is proposed as a historic scene of Savannah. I'm going to try and zoom in so you get a little better look. So this is Savannah's riverfront. And the applicant provided a statement on this, so I'll kind of go through that really quick. They say in the early 1800s, the area commonly known as the Eastern Wharves District was a thriving hub of industry, home to businesses such as A.N. Miller's Foundry, Hydraulic Cotton Press Company, and the Bullock and Winton Steam Sawmill. The area saw decades of prosperity that played a key role in the state's economic growth. The mural depicts the Savannah Riverfront as it appeared in the 1800s in an homage to the historical roots of the site and the city. So as the first building to complete on what is now the Eastern Wharf Savannah, the team is confident that this mural is appropriate to the location and building. So this is that mural I was talking about. And you can't really tell from this drawing, but it'll just be a slightly darker tone than the existing parking garage exterior. So the master planning guidelines does state that the mural should be of an original design. This mural is proposed to be based on a historic bird's eye view of Savannah's riverfront in the 1800s. So although not technically an original design, this is an original use for that design, and staff finds it to be appropriate. The submittal packet, when I was looking through it, so the mural will enhance the large new development on the Eastern Wharf by representing, again, Savannah's historic riverfront. The scale of the mural, although it is very large, is to be painted, as I stated earlier, in a light blue color, which is to be slightly darker than the concrete exterior of that parking garage. And so although visible from multiple locations that you would see via vehicle, staff found that there wouldn't be any real undue distraction to drivers, even though it is an immense size. So the immense size of the parking garage will allow for a large-scale mural to be more appropriate and does complement the structure. The neighborhood, which is predominantly large-scale new construction, staff finds to be enhanced by the mural depicting a historic scene of Savannah's riverfront. The applicant did provide, as you were talking about earlier, public support. Oh, I'm on the wrong page here, sorry. So it is a pretty short public support, but this is from a neighboring property, which is the Marriott next door. They say, hi, Andrew, this looks great. Looking forward to seeing the finished product. So although small, it is one of the only people in that area who did give them a comment. So I'm gonna scroll actually through this document again. The applicant provided the following statement, again, pertaining to their artist selection. The team looked at multiple muralists within Savannah and around the Southeast, mostly in Atlanta and the Nashville area. After reaching out to several, the team did settle on East Side Murals out of Nashville, Tennessee, both again for the scale and style of their capabilities visible in previous works. So I'll kind of scroll through their previous works. And again, so they're stating that they chose them because of their ability to perform on such a large scale. Additionally, like I said, recent works of scale in the public arena were provided. The time frame that they proposed is 3 to 4 weeks, and they're stating that that's going to be beginning in the month of April 2021. So it would be 4 weeks during that month. Staff's recommendation, as you're going to see in a second, originally had two conditions, the first being providing staff with the final material specifications. Since this recommendation was published online, they have provided us with that information. And so it's going to be masonry primer with Sherwin-Williams super paint with Sherwin-Williams resilience. I'm sure these mean things. Yeah, not up on Sherwin-Williams products, but it is a resilient product as stated. Staff also recommended that they provide staff with the budget and funding information that again was provided to us, and it is part of the overall construction budget of that site. So they were allotted, I believe it says $70,000 for a mural budget within that. So staff's new recommendation, based on that updated information, so you're gonna be seeing this has conditions, just remove these conditions. So staff recommends approval by the Historic Site and Monument Commission for the mural at 301 Passageway as proposed, because the work meets the guidelines set forth within the master plan and guidelines. And I will answer any questions you have.
Thank you, Ryan. Does the anyone on the board have any questions of staff? Sean?
This is Sean. Ryan, this should, I hope this applies to you. If not, let me know and I can just ask the petitioner. In the budget, is the escrow to maintain the mural so that way it doesn't like just wash away or whatever? Is that included in the budget or is that?
That would be a good question for them. Since it's not on public property, we didn't require you know, escrow information. So it would just be up to the owner. And it is within the master planning guidelines stating that murals should be upkept by the property owner.
That's a, that's a good question. Eileen, you have any questions? Okay. Ashley, any questions? Lisa? Tom? Ryan, if could you repeat what you said about the budget for the mural? I missed that little tidbit.
So the budget they provided?
Yeah.
The budget was included within the overall construction budget of this site. So within that budget, the construction budget, they allotted $70,000 for a mural to be placed on the building.
So they allotted that money for themselves to do this thing?
Yes, okay, for the mural.
I got you. Sean?
And Ryan, just a point of, sorry, this is Sean. Ryan, just a point of clarification. You said this is residential, so then this would, our recommendation would not be a recommendation. It would be an approval or denial. It would not be going on to city council. Is that correct?
You would be making a decision today. It's not going to city council. It's on private property, which is partially residential, partially, you know.
Thank you.
That's, thanks for that clarification. So this, our decision will be final. So we will hear from the petitioner if the petitioner is here. Petitioner, are you here?
If yes, you sir.
I'm sorry. If you could state your name and your affiliation, please.
Yes, sir. My name is Jamie Germano. I'm an associate with the Mariner Group. We are the developers of the site at 301 Passageway.
Thank you, sir. Did you have anything to say or add?
Not at this time. I'm happy to answer any questions you guys may have.
Does any board members have a question of the petitioner? Sean?
Hi. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. First off, Jamie, I want to say this is a great idea. I think that the city definitely needs to have more ideas just like this. So I think it is a really, really great idea to get rid of the boring facade of parking garages. And I really also like the idea of, hey, let's bring back, I really like the entire concept. So Jamie, I do want to ask you, included in that budget, which I believe was stated of about $70,000, give or take, is there any allocation or what do you plan to do for upkeep so that way a design of such smartness, if that's even a word, doesn't go away?
Well, I would have to check on the timeline for how long these materials would potentially fade. But I would say that our maintenance of this would occur during typical building maintenance throughout the years. So whenever we do cleaning of the facade outside, this would also be a portion of that, a part of that. In terms of specific budget, however, I don't believe we have a line item for that.
Okay, thank you. And also, do you have any, like, only keep this up for 5 years or something like that? Or is it an idea that you plan to keep for a long time?
It is planned as permanent. Should we choose to make a change in the future, that would be that's a decision we have not entertained at the moment.
Okay, thank you.
Does anyone else have any questions of the petitioner? I do have a quick question. I think the timeline that was mentioned was 3 to 4 weeks. Was that correct to do the entire piece?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
So that seems rather quick. I don't know if Lisa could comment on that, but I'm wondering if is the artist present by any chance?
They are not on this call. I did have a follow-up with them earlier this week, and 4 weeks, probably 4 to 5 weeks is actually closer to the timeline, but they are confident to execute in that time frame.
Yeah. It's not a big deal. I was just curious. I was actually curious how the process, if the process was going to be, was it a stencil or were they actually freehand, or what, if you knew about what their process was?
I do not. I apologize.
I mean, if it was a stencil, I could see that. I mean, that just, I don't know, Lisa, does that sound like a reasonable timeline? That seems rather quick.
Hi, this is Lisa. I was thinking possibly they project it and do a drawing, but I don't know how. I really, something this big, I've never endeavored in, so I'm not sure how they do it.
No, I mean, it was just a question. I was just curious. I mean, I commend you for the concept. I think it's a smart concept, and I agree with Sean. I think it's a great use of space rather than just a huge blank wall there. I think it's a really smart and commendable use of space there, so I appreciate it.
Yeah.
If no one else has any questions, I'm sorry, Lisa, go ahead.
Just one question. Do you know what kind of ships are being illustrated?
I do not know the specific ship types that are illustrated here. There is some additional information in the actual illustration that came from 1891. I could potentially track that down for you.
Staff actually does have that information. Leah's on her way to go get it if you guys would like to wait for that.
That's an impressive.
Cool. Thank you. We'll wait for that then.
Well, while we're waiting on that, I'll go ahead. Go ahead, Sean.
Sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean again. While we're waiting, I just wanted to ask, Jamie, what made you guys want to do this?
It
sounds like an easy question, but I'm just wondering what made you guys want to come up with such a great, in my opinion, a great idea to do something like this.
Honestly, from the beginning of the project, we had always contemplated doing something to screen the parking deck in some way or shape or form. Typically that's done with slats on the facade in certain areas. However, this really felt to us like the right decision, the right way to go. Once we started looking into murals, we looked at a couple of other designs, but this one seemed to fit the best.
So it looks like Leah staff has found the original painting.
A copy of the original. It does not state the individual types of ships, so we do not know.
Does that satisfy your question, Lisa? We can research it.
They have steamboat around here and whatnot too.
Okay.
Well, I just reiterate that it's a commendable. I really appreciate that you all didn't go with slats and that you did go with some sort of artistic screen. I think that was definitely the right move, in my opinion. Does anyone else have any questions of the petitioner? If there are no more questions, we will hear from members of the public. And if there are any members of the public, if you could just use the raise your hand feature, and we will wait to see if there is anyone that wants to speak on this petition.
We do not.
Nobody. Okay, so if there's no public comment, then we will entertain board discussion on this. If there's any discussion, any comments, questions? Sean?
This is Sean, just so that way there's some sort of comment as well. I just want to reiterate exactly what I said again. I think this is a great idea. I think the city needs more ideas just like this, even if it's something as, for lack of a term, as basic as the bearded iris picture that was submitted in the proposal. But I think this type of artwork, I think, is great. I know different ideas like this have come up before this board in the past. And it's had different results, but I really, really like this idea. And I really wish this type of idea would be used throughout the entire city, because it really just makes the city look even better. Thank you.
Anyone else have any comments, questions, discussion? I mean, I would reiterate again what I said, but it's great that there is a developer that has the money to bankroll something like that. I mean, it does cost quite a bit of money, so it's appreciated that they put their money towards that. Any other discussion? Eileen, Ashley, Tom, Lisa? So if there's no more discussion, I'll entertain a motion to approve or not.
This is Sean. I make a motion to approve staff's recommendation for approval of the mural at 301 Passageway with no conditions as stated.
Is there a second?
This is Lisa. I'll second that motion.
So the motion is to approve the staff recommendations of the mural on the Eastern Wharf. Eileen, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
Ashley?
This is Ashley. Aye.
This is Sean. Aye.
This is Lisa. Aye.
This is Tom. Aye. And since I hadn't said anything, I do really like the historic character of this mural. It is appropriate, certainly, to the riverfront. I would like to see more of this too. So good.
And so the motion passes. Thank you, petitioner. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We are excited and appreciate that this has generated some excitement with the board.
If you have any sort of opening or unveiling or that sort of thing, feel free to invite us. We would love to come.
Absolutely. We are hoping to have a grand opening once COVID allows us to.
That'd be great. Thanks so much.
We will send that out. Thank you.
Much appreciated. Okay, now we're going to move to the discussion of the fence mural project. So this was for the new board members. This was the, well, staff, do you want to give a brief synopsis of that? It might be better.
At last month's meeting, the board reviewed what was known as the Starland Fence Mural Project. So this is a series of murals painted onto, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it was a canvas material, and then is attached to construction fencing at various locations around Savannah. So the board reviewed them and approved the series of them that are currently installed, and then requested that additional items be reviewed by the board at later meetings as they are created. So at that meeting, the commission, as I said, reviewed the petition for those temporary murals. And then also at that meeting, they made reference to previous construction fence mural projects that had occurred in the city and inquired that they would like further research into these projects. So after that February 4th meeting, staff did do research. And so I'm just going to quickly go through the different items that I uncovered, I guess, while doing that research. So staff looked through all archived materials. We were unable to locate any documentation or communication regarding previous construction fence mural projects. So at that time, staff contacted Ellen Harris, who was the previous director of urban planning and historic preservation for the MPC. And we asked her for any information she may have on that subject, and she did provide the following statement, so I'll just read it out loud here. She said, "I do recall conversations regarding murals on fences at those locations. It is my recollection that the conversation started with the hotels seeking to add decorative banners," which she describes as plastic sheets with images screen printed on them, "just to hide those construction fences. And at that time, they determined that just like the construction fences and related construction signage, that it would not require review. The idea then evolved into murals, and she didn't see any substantive difference between a printed plastic sheet with an image and a mural, so determined at that time that it wouldn't require review. And it also felt it didn't meet the intent of permanent or semi-permanent definition of public art, which murals would fall under. She then tried to find the section of the code that addresses construction fences and could not find it. So staff at that time decided to look a little deeper into things that we have. So we did look into the master planning guidelines, which defines murals as a singular flat work of art applied with property owner and HSMC approval on a building, structure, fence, or other object within public view. The work does not contain text, graphics, or symbols which advertise or promote a business, product, or service, nor does it promote a political candidate or party. Also under section 9.6.3, exemptions for fences and walls within Article 9, General Site Standards of the City of Savannah Code of Ordinance, it states, this section shall not prohibit the erection of temporary fences or murals for construction sites or similar activities where approved by the city manager or his or her designee. So stating that we have no purview over construction fences. So staff is requesting that the HSMC members review these findings and make a determination on the matter of whether these items are required to be reviewed or not by the Historic Site and Monument Commission.
I really appreciate it, Ryan. I mean, I know that you and Leah did a lot of due diligence with this, and I need to correct myself on the record. I made an incorrect statement at the last meeting, and I owe Mr. Administrator an apology. He did not come before this board to get approved for those previous projects. I could have sworn that he did, but I went through the minutes myself for my entire tenure and couldn't see anything of it. Tom, I don't know if you remember. I mean, I was clearly wrong, and so I need to correct myself on the record because I made the statement that he did come before the board, and I think to Clinton's credit, he wasn't remembering as well or either, and to his credit, I mean, or in his defense, if those previous similar projects didn't come before this board for approval, he was completely within reason to think that these wouldn't either. So I apologize. I apologize to this board that I made that incorrect statement, and I just wanted to correct myself on the record. So that leaves us with this. and I think this Ryan, the section you, the exemptions you cited there also sort of kind of tell the story too. I don't know that this is within our purview, honestly, but Tom, do you remember that any sort of discussion about this? I could have sworn it, but obviously I'm misremembering it.
Well, at the time, yeah, I thought that, I didn't recall anything okay. like this coming up at all.
Well, you have the correct memory, not me.
But my memory isn't what it used to be sometimes. So, I've made almost every meeting in the past 9 years. I must admit, there are very few that I've missed. So. Yeah. I couldn't say that you're wrong because, maybe it came up in that one meeting.
I'm clearly wrong. there's no doubt. I remember some sort of presentation, and I must have seen that presentation somewhere else, and I had somehow placed that at this board. But
maybe it was at a different board or something. But, clearly that would have been that kind of thing would be really exceptional considering what we've covered, or at least I've covered in the past 9 years related to murals. And really, when I came onto this board, murals were just the new thing that this board was actually approving.
Right.
They just started to take that as part of the purview. So that, the idea of something that is impermanent, that's detachable, came up with, Panhandle Slim's work, which was attached to a building, and whether that should be considered a mural or not, because it's something that's removable and detachable. But a canvas thing like this, I'm pretty sure I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, I was incorrect. So I just wanted to make sure I correct the record. And it does change the dynamic. It does change the calculus because he was within his reason to not think that, I'll be honest, I feel like it's my fault because I did bring this issue up because I was on the cultural affairs and I saw this project and I was like, oh, this should be coming before this board. And I feel like I opened a can of worms and I didn't mean to confuse this issue. So I apologize to you guys for that.
Well, my comment on that, this is Tom, would be that maybe it is not just a can of worms, but it is something that we should think about and consider because, because again, in the context of Panhandle Slim, where you have a piece of plywood with his artwork that is screwed to the building, the question becomes, is that all that different than a canvas that's slung over a building? To me, you know, it's a slippery, well, you know, where do you define the line and say, this is not within our purview, but this is. And for me, I was opposed to, you know, to that project, but I couldn't stay for the vote. And my leanings were the fact that it's, once again, you know, public art because it's displayed in a public sphere, right. Just like Panhandle Slim's work is displayed in a public sphere. So people will see it, and without the board, which is responsible for ensuring that these things are up, that it's appropriate, many people might not consider what somebody puts up and, you know, as appropriate. And, you know, I keep thinking that on a construction fence, the ones I remember from New Jersey, which is a whole different world, you know, it's more almost closer to advertising than beautiful art. And of course, these days, art can be very offensive to one person and not to someone else, as I found on this board in the many years I've been here. So giving someone the purview to do this without any oversight takes it out of, well, to me, that's the wrong direction that the board is supposed to be going to allow that. That was my my take on it. But again, if you're saying that this is not within our purview, then, I mean, I don't know where the thing's at since I missed the last meeting. But
does anyone else have thoughts, Lisa?
I think there is a big difference between attaching a canvas to a fence and attaching a piece of wood to a structure, because depending on how that is adhered can cause issues with the siding of a structure. And that's, unfortunately, with the artists you've mentioned, I've seen things fly across the street. Well, I didn't see it, but during a hurricane, they could have hurt somebody. So that, I kind of feel that's on us if we allow that. But a canvas is going to just knock somebody over if it flips up, you know, but nothing. Does that make sense?
Well, I mean, my concern is more not this ultimate construction or safety of the building. I mean, a building can fly into the air in a hurricane and kill someone too, if it's painted on the building itself. I mean, to me, I don't see the difference. And, but it's really about the content of the art that we're, I mean, we don't judge the art, but we are supposed to prove whether it's appropriate and whether it fits the guidelines. And you know, you could say that it's impermanent, right? It's a canvas. It could be taken down and will be taken down. But we've also many times been involved with impermanent artworks that go up for even a less time than some of these things that have been up for. You know, sometimes it's up for a month or just a few weeks. But still, it is part of our purview to ensure that the public isn't exposed to things that might be things that they object to. And to be able to put it up without any public comment, without any, I find it really something that we should be considering and looking at.
Does anyone else have thoughts, Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. First off, before I make my statements, I do want to just correct something that you had stated, Ryan, when you were reading item 4, section 9.6.3 C, where you said the section shall not prohibit the erection of temporary fences or murals. It's actually written or walls.
Yes, you're correct.
Thank you. Sorry, I know
my
it's
brain
a minor
was on
detail,
murals at that point.
Believe me, my entire today feels exactly like Halloween for me. With that being said, I agree with Tom. I think that these type of situations definitely fall under and should fall under the purview of the HSMC for a lot of different reasons. One, and I know Tom is going to make his comment that he loves to make, but if these things are not put up directly, who's to say that, or these, if these construction canvases, which what have you, are not put up directly and securely with any sort of standard, who's to say that a canvas can't just blow right over and destroy one of the beautiful trees that has made Savannah? I see, there he is.
I was going to say when the
trees. I mean, Savannah has a very, 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 not just statewide known, but countrywide known tree canopy. I mean, anybody who walks down any of the streets of Savannah and sees the trees, you're like, yes, that is. I mean, you can look at any movie, let's say SpongeBob, the real action one. You can clearly tell, yep, that is Savannah because of the trees. Yeah, you could call it whatever city you want to, but no, I mean, heck, even there's another movie that they claimed was Charleston, but no, the tree said, no, this is friggin' Savannah. You can easily tell. And those type of situations, even going back to Panhandle Slim, where, hey, something could just fall. We literally denied the approval of an after-the-fact mural because the piece of board was just like literally falling off. And same thing with these canvases that go on fences or walls. Even though, I mean, maybe it doesn't have to be, we're deferred off to a city council and we can just have the final say. I don't know about that, but I if we want to maintain the beauty and the, I'm going to go out on a limb and say the perfection that is Savannah's natural landscape, I think that we have to make sure that these all meet the different standards. I mean, one of my favorite pieces of art that came before this commission, unfortunately, it was denied, and I completely stand behind my vote of voting no on it, was the proposed mural for Fox and Fig. I think that's the restaurant. Mm-hmm. That was an amazing, it really fit the what the artist wanted to do. It fit the facade of the restaurant. Granted that, but the residents absolutely friggin' hated it. They did not like it. And that goes exactly back to what the chairman was saying earlier at the beginning of this meeting, where we have to listen to what the residents say, right? And if something goes up, let's say somebody puts up just on a canvas, on a fence, a picture of a chair, what does that actually add? I mean, the residents could just absolutely hate, I don't want to look at that chair every single day. And I'm using that as an extreme example, but it goes along the thing. There has to be some sort of standard, and I'm all for pushing public art, but that type of situation, I think it definitely should fall under our purview, and I think it definitely should require some sort of review by this board.
Tom, did you have any comments on that?
No, for once, Sean is agreeing with me, except and I agree with him, except about the trees. Who cares about the trees? We want the art up.
I'm curious to know if you all have any comments. What I would add to this, and I think that we need to make sure that we are adhering to what we are supposed to be doing. And our role as a Historic Site and Monument Commission is not to protect things from flying around, as far as I understand. There's also a First Amendment right issue. It's more complicated. I see it as far more complicated. I mean, if you want to follow the letter of our standards, anything that's viewable from the public right away, we did Starlin Yard, which I was personally did not think that fit our purview. If I have art in my living room and I open the door, people can see it from the right of way. But you cannot tell me that anyone's going to approve or disapprove what I have in my own house just because someone can see it from the street. So I think that it's complicated. And I think we're still figuring this out because, like we mentioned, this board didn't even deal with murals until, I don't know, what was it, 2008 or? Oh, well, not
2013.
Okay, so we're still in 7 years, and it really, from my experience, my computer just went off. Oh. From my experience here, and this is nobody's fault at all. Oops. it's nobody's fault at all, but we have very unevenly applied our standards. Some things have gotten approved and some things have not. I will, I would use the example of the Telfair or the Jepson Center or the SCAD Museum of Art. They both have express windows that are purposely there for public art. We have never approved or disapproved of anything that they've done at all. Now, I'm not saying we should do that, but to the letter of what we of our standards, they should be getting approved or disapproved. So how do they get a pass and Panhandle Slim gets beaten up every time he comes in? I'm just throwing that out there, but I would love to hear thoughts on that. It's a confusing issue for me. Staff have a comment on that?
Yes, we should stop talking about it now.
Why is that?
I just got a text from legal.
Okay, could you explain that?
And maybe Pam, are you there?
I am here. I'm just saying, I know that you're talking about application of the ordinance, and what you need to do is to make sure that you're applying it fairly to everyone. If again, and it's something we talked about before, if the project meets the standards in the ordinance, that then you should approve it. And again, you talked about it before, not taking it out on the artist. So we just need to be careful about how we're following it and treating people the same.
Yeah, I think there might be a little confusion, Pam. They're discussing whether or not this application from last week was under their purview or not, because it wasn't a few years ago.
Yeah, what I was talking about were the comments that he was making. Sorry.
Oh,
have to be careful about that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Could you clarify? I didn't quite understand.
She's referring to you speaking on about past projects that don't fall under the same restrictions as what you're talking about now.
I still don't understand. Hold on one second, Sean. I want to understand the point that's being made, because if legal is having an issue with what we're saying, I want to make sure we're not doing anything.
I was just talking about the comments that you were making about things being applied unequally. That comment, and I apologize. Those are things that.
So it is my opinion that we have not applied the standards equally, and you're saying I'm not allowed to say that.
What I'm saying is that it could create a problem for the board in the future, because someone could come back and say the board admitted that they don't apply the standard equally. I just want us to be careful about things that we're saying.
I understand what
but
you're
from
saying.
This point forward, we're making sure that we're following the ordinances and that we're applying treating everyone the same.
I appreciate that, and I totally understand that. Thank you for that. That actually underlines the point I'm trying to make, though, is that I think we do need to be very diligent about applying our standards equally. So let me rephrase how I'm saying that. So I understand the point, and I apologize for that, and I thank you for that clarification. But I will rephrase that and say that we need to make sure going forward that we are applying these standards equally. Is that an acceptable way to say that?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, and thank you for that. And I apologize, but I want to make sure we're not running afoul of anything. Sean, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Granted, I have not been on the commission as long as you have, or Tom. I've been on it for about 3 years. I disagree with this statement. My personal opinion is I think we do apply the standards fairly when they are brought.
Let's talk about them going forward. I think is probably the
way. My view is I think we do apply it very fairly based off of another example is that a proposed Enmark mural that was going up. It was a beautiful piece of. I thought it was a great piece of artwork, but the standard said cannot be viewed as advertising. It clearly stated in that that proposed artwork, Enmark. And again, the board, even though we may have, whatever a commissioner board member may have had about that particular piece of artwork, it's still the standard was still met and the standards, the same consistent standards were still all applied.
I'm not saying any individual.
That's just my thing. So now.
No, I understand that. I'm not saying every single time we voted, I'm saying across the board, we need to make sure the standards we apply to one application is also applied to all the other ones.
And I agree with you. And in my view, again, I think that we do that. I think that as a board, we do that.
I think the question here with this one is whether or not your mural guidelines apply to construction fences.
Correct.
Or not, because they're a temporary fence that does not even require a permit.
So,
and so that's obviously, it doesn't require a COA, doesn't require a permit, you know, anything like that. So, and it's not applied to the fence, it's attached to the fence. So I think really, I mean, and it sounds like you all could probably debate it, you know, all day long, but we looked at Robert's rules and its majority vote to decide whether or not you all will review these now and in the future.
So maybe this is that's my mistake for broadening the conversation. Maybe we should have kept this conversation more narrowly focused on this specific.
There's definitely I apologize a big difference between panhandles, which are attached to buildings and things like that, and never construction fences. And you know, temporary fence that doesn't have a permit versus
right.
a building.
I mean, I think it's a fair point. I mean, that Tom makes, but thank you for that. I think that we do need to maybe keep this narrowly focused on these specific. So going forward, the question is, are these, if there are, because actually these are done all over the country. I mean, these types of projects are done all over the country on construction fences. So this isn't some new idea. So are these specific items or objects on construction fences something we need to be dealing with? Let me, Sean, Eileen, did you have a comment on that? Okay. Sean, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry, I'm not trying to take.
No, that's why I thought she was raising her hand.
No, and I don't have to be the first one to speak, but again, oh, sorry, this is Sean. I reiterate exactly what I said. I was speaking when I had stated it in the past. I think temporary fences or walls, I think if you're going to be putting up art, mural, what have you, I think it still should fit under the purview of this board. Yes, it goes on all throughout the country as well. However, not every single city in the country has the historic standards that the city of Savannah has. When I was gonna date myself a little bit, when I was growing up in a DC suburb, which is it's Fredericksburg, Virginia, it's very, very heavily stuck to the revolutionary time period. If you've ever been to that, shocking, because three Civil War battles were fought there, or in that area. And they have very strict standards as well to make sure that they maintain the integrity of their city and not just putting up whatever they want to wherever, again, because they want to maintain that revolutionary aspect of their city. And that's one thing that I've always seen in the city of Savannah. We always maintain our historic side and maintain the entire purview and facade of the city. It's like, yes, we are a city of 170,000 people in the year 2021, but I think that we need to make sure that we are keeping and doing the work of the people. Thank you.
Yeah, I think you all need to vote.
Okay, does anyone have any other comments on that? Eileen, Ashley? Well, I mean, I would like to make a statement before we vote. Could you scroll up a little bit? I'm looking for the section that says semi-permanent or permanent. Is that in here or?
That's within Ellen Harris's statement of her reasoning for why they did not review it at that.
And so is that within the our guidelines, is that our purview is in permanent, deals with permanent or semi-permanent installations or artworks?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, well, I'll entertain a motion. Sean.
This is Sean. I make a motion that says approving, let me make sure I get the exact wording right, art on temporary fences or walls for construction sites or similar activities do fall under the purview of the Historic Sites and Monuments Commission.
Staff, does that sound appropriate to what we're looking at here?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, I would love to second that.
Okay, there's a second, and the motion is, Sean, could you just repeat the motion so we're clear? I want to make sure we're being clear. Sorry.
No problem. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. I make a motion that murals or public art on temporary fences or walls for construction sites or similar activities do fall under the purview of the Historic Sites and Monuments Commission.
Okay, thank you, Sean, and Tom.
And I second that as an eloquent thing.
So that does everyone on the board understand the motion? Okay, so there is a motion on the table. Eileen, how do you vote?
I vote no.
Ashley.
This is Ashley. Aye.
Lisa.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped you, Sean.
This is Sean. Aye.
Tom.
This is Tom. Aye.
And the motion passes. Pardon?
3-2.
So we have a nay. Aye. So going forward, we will require applications for murals. So this is not retroactive. Is that we're not making this retroactive in any way or whatever?
No, but basically your decision stands then with Clinton that he has to return with the future.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, and so hopefully that's not too onerous for him because he's already gone through that process. So. Okay, and I apologize. And Pam, I thank you for that input, and I apologize for running afoul of that. So thank you.
Not a problem. Thank you.
What is the next thing on the agenda? Okay, staff, take it away.
So I'm sure you remember a couple of months ago, we brought to you, I believe it was 2 months ago, we brought you at that time updates for the master planning guidelines that we've been having ongoing since then. So today I'm going to be showing you the updates that we have so far. So
hang on one sec. I'm sorry to interrupt you. So we went through all this with you all last time. Mm-hmm. So now we wanted to show you it in a red line version that we're going to present to City Council. So I don't know that we necessarily need to go through it again. You all might just want to read it on your own, make sure you don't see any errors is more like it, but you all, I mean, and you're new members, so you may have different ideas, but you all, you didn't vote on it, but you all agreed on the content the last time. So I think it would make more, and if you want to, you know, it can't hurt to go through it, an overview of what we're quote fixing on it.
Are there substantial changes from when the last time you all presented this? Okay.
Not at all.
No, it's essentially just a cleaner version now.
We worked with Pam to get it into a form which was appropriate to present to City Council.
There are a few
redlined and proposed basically.
There are a few small items, like we've added additional definitions to the master planning guidelines now.
Permanent, semi-permanent.
Semi-permanent, permanent, and temporary are now definitions within the master planning guidelines.
So if you want to do it.
They weren't officially defined within the definitions list.
Would you mind just briefly, because our new members don't, I mean, you don't have to go through to the extent that maybe you did, but just so they're aware, this is a long time coming, and I know that you guys have done a lot of work on this, and it's highly appreciated.
Yeah, so it's broken down into two PDFs you'll see when you go onto the agenda if you're reviewing them on your own. One PDF is labeled as red line, meaning these are all the items that are removed from the document. So as you go through, you'll see a lot of red lining through. And then the next document would be blue, which is what has been added. So I'll kind of scroll through this just so you can all see how it looks now. Obviously, the table of contents would be drastically changed. Even if one page changes now, every single other page has to change. So you'll notice every page number has changed, obviously. But we did add things in there. So you'll want to look through that, which I did show you before, but you obviously can look through on your own. And again, most of it's just changes. Like obviously all these figures had to change if they changed pages and different things like that. But as you can see, for the most part, it's all exactly as it was. We've mostly just taken out those lists and maps. So you'll notice the document is a lot shorter. It's because we've removed about 20 pages worth of lists and maps, and then added corrections for sentence structure and things like that mostly throughout the whole document.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yep.
So those lists and maps, are they still going to exist or?
They still do exist and okay. Everyone has access to them.
Because I think they are valuable. Maybe they don't need to be in here, but.
The lists at this point exist. The maps do exist, but our office is, putting them into a nice, neat little form for everyone to view.
So we're trying to set it up more like the zoning ordinance would be set up, because that's our ultimate goal here, is to make this not guidelines, but an actual zoning ordinance. And with the local historic district ordinances, the maps and the lists are not in the text. They're referenced and reference the supplement, blah, blah, blah. And that way we don't have to update the master planning guidelines or the zoning ordinance every time a new marker is installed.
Right. So are those going to be digitally accessible?
Absolutely.
Then?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the smart thing.
I just want to show them how the, because we decided we're going to set the web page up like this too. So I'll show you how like a local historic district web page is set up. And we're planning on setting it up just like this.
Okay, yeah, that was
smart. So, here would be the applicable zoning, and then here would be the maps that are, referenced within the document, but they wouldn't be part of the actual code.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Sean, did you?
Leah or Ryan, could you go back to the blue line document and specifically page 7?
Page 7?
Yes.
Yep.
And you're probably going to throw something at me when I call this. Up on the top where it's slide 7. Basically what I found, and I'm just skimming over this really quickly, is you refer to that monument in Forsyth Park by its old name and not the Civil War monument.
And thank you for that. This is why we do this.
And we were hoping you all could read over these, some nice bedtime material too. See if you find anything like that that we've, Ryan's literally been looking at this document since the day he started working here, which will be 2 years next week.
It's your life's work.
You should order a cake for it.
What's the time frame for like us getting back on the on our comments, like for
how about before the next meeting?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. And sorry, I didn't mean to.
No. That's the kind of stuff that
I appreciate that.
Yeah, we need your all's fresh eyes.
All of this blends together when I look at it at this point. So
yeah, he's literally been looking at it for 2 years. So yeah, I think that's kind of the last thing is to get your all eyes on it one more time and make sure we're not, there was some insensitive language in there still and things like that from years ago. That
it is no longer in there. It has been corrected.
Would you like that emailed to you? Anything we found?
If you would, please. Thank you. I'll find it. Don't worry.
You can mark it. You can mark it up.
Do a word search or something.
This is Lisa. Will you email this again? Is that a pain in the butt? I'm sorry.
I can definitely do
just
that.
So we have
it. It's in the agenda, right?
Yeah. Oh, it is
this,
in the
this
agenda.
This specific item was not emailed to you, but I can.
No.
Yeah. No. If it's in the agenda, it's fine.
You can download it from the agenda or we can email directly.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Again, I'm just showing you that we really didn't change too much other than taking a lot out and adding some things. But again, we did add permanent, semi-permanent, and temporary into the definitions list. And then this page has changed. Several items were kind of obsolete, so we removed them and added non-obsolete items.
I won't ask what those items are.
They're in blue.
And when was the last time that was revised?
That was in 2013. Okay. When the mural policy was updated, added to it.
But it wasn't completely revised at that point, right? It was just that was added to it. Is that?
That was added. So, but at like that time, other items were revised. Gotcha. Yes. Yeah.
Sorry, Sean.
Ryan, this may be a point of annoyingness, if you will. But if you notice, all of the groups are listed twice with the exception of women. It's only listed as women's contribution. Is there a reason why it's not women's history as well?
There is no reason we should do that.
I wanted to be a proofreader, but apparently they don't have those. So
I'm sure they do.
Thank you. As a woman, I appreciate that.
It's also March too. So
I just,
I love proofreading.
Does anyone else have any questions, comments? I personally appreciate this. I mean, I definitely went through this and read it. And
yeah, I love reading these things also. I think it's really awesome. And I think these are great. And I really like the specific murals that you picked, especially that one that from the guy in Brooklyn, that really, really awesome one. That one.
Yeah.
The 2202 Bright Street. I really like that one.
The picture will get better. When I created this PDF, the document was going through some strange craziness and the computer crashed 4 times, but it did get made. So several items are very strange at this time. This is a much clearer picture in the actual document.
Have you memorized every word?
That is a negative. I was trying to find one thing that I wanted to show you all. See how obviously I don't have the whole thing memorized as I have to search through. But this portion previously stated more offensive language. So it is now saying that the mural program is an effort to bring attention to the creative, cultural, and other histories and experiences within under-resourced and disinvested neighborhoods. So previously referred to those neighborhoods as different items. This is page. It'll be different, but it'll be close. They stated that it would combat vandalism and blight and revitalize declining neighborhoods. And so I wanted to make that a little bit nicer and clearer than what it was saying.
Yeah, that's kind of aggressive language.
And then it talked a lot about Philadelphia, which is unnecessary.
That's something we can all agree on. I'm just kidding. I like Philadelphia. I like Philadelphia. To have 4 paragraphs about it. Well, thank you all. Is that the last item on the agenda?
Yep.
And do we have any petitions for the next meeting? Do we know yet? Okay, so the next regular meeting will be on April 1st, and it is not an April Fool's joke. And I, without further ado, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
This is Sean. I make a motion to adjourn.
For a second.
This is Lisa. I second.
Without any objection, meeting is adjourned.